This is Aaron, and you're listening to Guildcast, where Sean can't pronounce my name right.
Welcome back, everyone, to this 12th episode of Guildcast. I'm your host, Sean, and with me once again is Ruby. How you doing, Ruby?
I am pretty well. I'm excited. We got good news last night.
Yeah, we did. Should we spoil it now, or should we make people wait?
Okay, the spoiler starts at, insert the number here. We got the level cap for Guild Wars 2 last night.
Yeah, it's really pretty exciting news. I think a lot of people, it's made people say both sides, you know, it's too high, it's too low, because originally a long time ago, a couple years ago when they first announced Guild Wars 2, they said there was a chance that they wouldn't have any level cap at all, you know, that
yeah.
They wouldn't even mess with that, because of the fact that it's like, if you have no level cap, it doesn't even matter, like, the same with 20, you know, a lot of people kind of misunderstood their entire reason for having only 20 levels, and they were like, oh yeah, I got 20 levels, so I beat the game. And ArenaNet's like, no, that's not the point. The point is that it doesn't matter how many levels you have, you know. And
you're going, where are you, Lion's Arch?
Yeah. So I think that maybe they're kind of, I don't know, they're playing a little bit more into the traditional way of doing the MMOs. And although that is all explained in a blog post, which we will discuss in more detail.
Yeah.
So what have you been up to this week? These last 2 days since we recorded last.
Yeah, since we recorded last. You know what? I've been dragging a third character through the Warren Krita content.
Dragging? Like, reluctantly?
Well, there's only so many times you can do that in a short amount of time. And actually, it is still fun, but it's becoming a little bit rote. And I can see why people, you know, this goes right back to the grind thing. I can see why you don't want to do it over and over. Plus, it's my writ, and she's Signet of Spirits, so I set up my spirits. I go find something to eat, and I come back and move on to the next mob. So there's just not a lot to do there.
Huh.
So, it's fun, though. I'm bound and determined to get a miniature Selma out of one of those royal gifts. Hmm. So I will do it as many times as I need to.
You know, it's funny. I've had a lot of people this week, the last few weeks since we started Guildcast, ask me, you know, should I play Guild Wars? Like, I've never played it. What is there to do now? Like, is there any new content? You know, are they going to continue to support it? This is kind of the big fear now. And the Warren Krita stuff really reminds me of... it's one of the things I always use as an example of how they are adding more to it, you know?
Oh, absolutely. And, you know, I shouldn't... It's because I've been through the content 3 or 4 times, but it is a fascinating story. It is... So cool what they've done, because this goes all throughout Krita. It's not just, hey, go do this mission and talk to these people. You go do something, and it's got repercussions in like 3 or 4 very far away areas of Krita. Mm-hmm. The intricacy of this just never ceases to amaze me.
Yeah. Well, cool.
Yeah, what about you?
Well, I have not been playing Guild Wars. How's that?
I know. Very sad.
Yeah, it's I've been playing a bunch of other games, poor Guild Wars. You know, lately, I mean, I admit, you know, I'm the first to admit this, but lately the only time I've been logging in, on my main account at least, is to get birthday presents. And I have another account that I play, actually I have a couple other accounts, but I have this one that I play with my daughter a lot. We play on in Pre-Searing, and I don't really advance too much, because I have a character named Predestined, and I think she's level 11 now, and... So, you know, my daughter will make a brand new character, and then we'll go get a pet for the ranger, and then she'll, you know, next week it'll be a different pet, or a different character altogether, and different pet and everything. So it's been fun, but I just haven't really progressed at all.
Yeah. Does she make you distract the bear while she charms it?
Yes, she didn't know about that until I taught her about that, but it's usually always the stalker. Other than that, though, I've just been playing a bunch of other games, which I don't think anybody here would really be interested in, but I don't know. So let's get into the news.
Yeah, because it's huge.
Yeah, it's some pretty big news. Now, this is the biggest news. We'll get this out of the way. The level cap has been announced to be 80 for for Guild Wars 2. And this is, it's kind of funny, because the way that they did this, they released this new blog at 9 o'clock at night.
Oh my gosh, thanks a lot, you guys.
Last night, and it's called Progression and Leveling in Guild Wars 2. And it's, you know, it starts out talking a little bit about this is from Isaiah Cartwright, also known as Izzy, and he talks about, you know, how he's not a big fan, and nobody at ArenaNet is a big fan of the, you know, making the level curve so much higher toward the end of your level cap, you know, where it gets impossible towards the end. So, you know, this thing starts out talking about that, and then they just drop this bomb here in the fourth paragraph. It's like, first off, we set the level cap for the game at 80. It's like, wait, what?
Yeah, like, la la la, no big deal.
And I didn't see this. Neo Nugget sent an email, or sent a comment, I think. I think maybe it might have been an email to me saying that, and I'm like, wait, what? Is that a joke? So I went and I looked at arena.net, and there it was, sure enough. And actually, I didn't see that part at first, and I'm skimming through it, and I am Ruby, and I'm like, hey, do you see anything on this about 80? Like, is this a joke? And then I look on Guild Wars 2 Guru, and they were talking about it. And I keep skimming it and skimming it, and I still don't see that 80. And Ruby's like, there it is, right there. And
okay, but my half of this story, you don't know this, and this was completely embarrassing. When this came down, I was in the middle of Massively Night in Guild Wars, and we, you know, I was with a group, and I was just really distracted, and I thought, and I skimmed it too and didn't see it. So I sent an IM to the Guild Wars community manager, Regina. And I said, do you have a second to confirm something? Because we're seeing this and we can't find it. And she did not even have to hesitate. She went fourth paragraph, third sentence. I was like, how many times have you answered this question in the past 10 minutes?
Yeah. Well, it's just funny because the way that he did it, he just, you know, mentioned it just offhand. I mean, it's two numbers together on the side of, you know, like
that's
I'm...
That's it.
Yeah, I'm skimming through it. And yeah, there it is. Level cap of 80. And so I actually had to do a find, you know, control F to find 80 in there.
That so. Is too funny. Yeah, it was like right there and neither of us could find it.
Yeah, and then I'm like, it was like 9:30, I guess, when we found this. And
jeez, it was ridiculously late.
And I'm like, can you write this up really quick for Massively? And you're like, sure, period.
It was, well, we were in the middle of the wilds and I was actually on vet and I was like, okay, you guys, I have something that I have to get written and published in 18 minutes. I'm really sorry. I need just a few minutes. And they were so great. They told me to park someplace safe and just leech the rest of the mission, which was great. I mean, it was really, really nice of them. And they said, well, you know, you're on vent with a group of people that completely understand, so go do your thing.
Yeah.
And then after I came back, we weren't done, and I was lost, and they had to come back and get me. But it was the people I was gaming with last night. They were so great. They were wonderful, and
that's cool.
We got that out really fast, and they let me leech.
Well, I mean, I guess it's understandable. You know, it's some pretty big news, and we did get it out really quickly. Actually,
it was
funny. We got it on Reddit before ArenaNet did. I think. Sorry, ArenaNet.
We're sorry.
But yeah, so the gist of this blog entry here by Izzy is talking about, you know, how, actually they have a little graph too, which is kind of funny. It's like, you know, the leveling curve on other MMOs goes up toward the end of the level cap, but theirs is literally straight. You know, it's a straight line. They want to make sure that every level has the same type of time invested in getting to that point. And, you know, this is something that I am so glad to hear, because I get so frustrated at the way this works in so many other games. I could name so many of them, but there are so many games that, okay, let's say you do a quest, you get 500 experience points for it when you're level 1. So then you get those 500 experience points, and say, you know, the trip from level 1 to level 2 is 1,000 points. So you do two quests and you're level 2. Okay, mm-hmm. That's good. So this continues until you're level 30 and you're still getting 500 experience points for a much harder quest, mm-hmm. And it's and it takes, now it takes 100,000 points to get to the next level. So that 500 points doesn't even, you know, it's like
it doesn't even make a dent.
Yeah, it's like a little sliver on your experience bar, your level bar. And that's something that's always driven me crazy, because then it's and especially they also have a lot of these problems with games that don't unlock certain quests until you get to a certain level. Like,
oh my gosh.
You know, I'm running into that right now in Fallen Earth where I'm 34, and there's this whole giant part of Sector 3 that doesn't open up until you're level 35. So what do? You have to grind. You know, you have to run around and do other things. I think it really detracts from the game. It detracts from the fun part of it, you know, because it makes you go, oh, I have to do this. You know, it's like a kind of a thing, you know.
You know, what this makes me think of is we have a column on Massively Anti-Aliased, and Serafina had a great thing on there a while back where she said, you know, this whole thing with grind and saying, oh, but just, you know, just keep at it. It's going to get really good at such and such point. But I didn't buy the game so it could get good later.
Yeah.
I bought the game to entertain myself now.
That's actually a really good point. And, you know, I think we all know why Sarah wrote that. that column. It was because of Ion. I did a column on Ion on Choose My Adventure, and we had all of the comments were, what, you only got to level 25 or whatever, and, you know, you haven't even experienced the game yet. And it's one of those things where you just have to say, what? Like, you haven't experienced the game yet after 25 levels and I don't know
hours
how many hours.
Upon hours.
Yeah. And that is the way wrong way to design a game. And I'm glad that it seems like ArenaNet realizes this. I mean, we knew that they realized that in Guild Wars 1, but they're very, using a Mesmer term here, they're very empathetic to
nice
to you know what people want to play and what people don't want to play. There are many ways to make a game profitable. There are many ways to make a game keep people in it. You know, which is a big thing. Games want to, you know, they want to make sure that people stay there. And that's all grind, I think. You know, where you have to do something over and over again in order to get, you know, that carrot on a stick, which is always in front of you, but you're never able to get it. You know, if you get to level 80, you'll get raid gear. Or, you know, if you do this 24-man, 12-hour raid, you'll get you get a chance to get this raid gear. Well, I think they're realizing that kind of the flaws in a lot of that, you know, and they're kind of saying, they're bringing it to us one at a time, and this is just one of those pieces of the puzzle where they're showing that they understand this stuff.
Mm-hmm. Well, and I love what he said. He said, we hate it as much as you do. It drives us insane. And this is something I've been saying for so long. They're gamers too, and they get this stuff. Mm-hmm. Which is why even, and you know, honestly, I think a lot of people feel that way because I've seen no screaming and yelling, well, little to no screaming and yelling about, oh my gosh, little cap of 80, oh my gosh. I mean, everybody kind of gets it. All right, this isn't going to be bad. This is going to be all about the content.
Now, I guess my question is, why 80? You know, I think that's the thing that really sticks in my mind because, you know, we have 20 in Guild Wars 1, which is completely understandable. I mean, you know, classic D&D rules, you know, classic D&D characters only get up to level 20, and so I guess from that perspective, it makes sense. Also, it's very low, so you don't have to worry about grinding for, you know, higher levels. But then to make it 80, it seems like you know, Warcraft has 80 on theirs, I guess, but it just seems like kind of a strange number to start off with, I guess.
Just to, like, pull out of their ear.
Yeah.
You know, I'm actually very curious about that myself. And I'm hoping that we can get a chance to ask them that very, very soon.
Yeah.
But I assume that it's just what fits the content nicely.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, we ran into that a lot in Guild Wars 1, where we would have, even in Prophecies, there would be, you know, level 22 bosses, or, you know, 23, whatever. And then once we got a lot farther along, we'd start seeing, like, level 30s. You know, we'd start seeing, like, much, much higher level. And it's like, well, how much higher can you go on boss levels versus that capped level 20 for us? You know what
right.
I mean? Like, is a level 30 boss seriously harder than a level 25 boss? Mm-hmm. Versus, you know, and in comparison to our level 20, it's one of those things that's always in balance, I guess. And I think admittedly, it probably got too far in Guild Wars 1 where they couldn't really, you know, they're already locked in at 20 for us. Mm-hmm. And how much harder can you make bosses without making them level 100, you know.
You know, I'm just laughing because I remember the first time we saw a level 32 boss and we're just like, oh!
Yeah.
Oh my gosh!
Yeah, exactly. So it's, I don't know. I like the idea. I like what this whole blog post is about, you know, about leveling curve, which is kind of the main thing here. Mm-hmm. I don't hate the fact that there's level 80 as the cap, because it's just a number, you know? Like, it doesn't really mean anything concrete. So I'm just curious to see the content. You know, I think that's the biggest thing here, is it means that we're going to have 80 levels of content.
Absolutely, and I'm excited about that.
Yeah.
But I really love that they're leaving the focus on the content. And, you know, I wonder, we laughed that they just kind of casually dropped that 80 in there. Mm-hmm. But I think that's probably representative of how much it's going to matter. It's just not going to be that huge of a deal. It's not going to be all, got to get to 80, got to get to 80. We can't do anything until we're at 80.
Yeah, I don't think that there are any game mechanics that can prevent that, though. I think that that's kind of human nature. But actually, they address that in here, too. They say, if you're a casual player and, you know, you play a couple hours a week or whatever, then you can still get to 80 eventually. If you're a hardcore player, you can get to level 80 quickly. You know, it's not like it'll be an extra challenge or anything. So you can still get to level 80 quickly. And I think that that's kind of one of the points of this. You know, to say that even if you're a hardcore player, it doesn't really matter. You know, still that stuff will still be there for you. And there will be no, like, extra advantage or disadvantage to being hardcore versus casual.
Yeah, somebody will get there the first day, though. Can we have a pool on release date? Can we have a pool?
We should. We should, seriously should. Which would
At
be sad.
At what time? But they're so much fun. I love when we do that.
Yeah.
We'll have to have a pool on what time the first person's going to ding 80.
Oh, man.
But
that's so crazy.
I do love what he said here. There's just going to be so much to do. We have achievements, trait collection, crafting, dungeons, skill collections, items, and much more. I'm not even going to know where to start. Well, that's a lie. I'll be crafting, but still.
One of the big things I've heard a lot from people who are not Guild Wars players is, you know, we hear this stuff, it sounds fantastic, but I hope they can deliver. You know, I hope that this is what's really going to happen. And it's so funny to me to hear this stuff from people who have never played Guild Wars, because it's like, you know, they're saying it's hype. They're calling it hype. They're saying that this is something that, you know, could, I don't know, it's like kind of hard to believe that it would happen, I think is what a lot of people are saying. And it's like, no, this is, like, we've been waiting for this for a long time. Yeah. Like, even a year ago, 2 years ago, we were saying, where is ArenaNet? You know, where's the news on Guild Wars 2? Like, there were even rumors that they stopped making it, you know? And a lot of people were concerned with that. I mean, it was, and now that we actually have information, people are calling it hype. It's just like, wait, like, they've waited a long time to get this stuff out, you know?
Yeah, and I'm just sitting here, I'm like, this is ArenaNet. Don't you get it?
Yeah.
Come on.
Yeah.
So I just, everything I've heard is really living up to what I expected, and I don't see it as hype at all. But in the next month or so, we'll find out for sure.
Yeah, the first hands-on, huh?
Yes.
It's going to be awesome. Now, the way we're doing it at Massively, we're not going to be able to go to Germany to do that. I know. I'm crying. But we're going to get like a couple fans to do it and then kind of give their impressions, and we're going to publish those on the site, so it should be pretty cool. And then, of course, Ruby's going to PAX, which will be at the beginning of September. That's like a little more than a month away.
Yes, it's a Labor Day weekend, and I absolutely cannot wait.
It's going to be great. I mean, and that's one of those things where you're just going to, I mean, they're going to have like somebody revive you, or I don't know.
I'm not going to waste time fainting, no. I absolutely break out in a huge grin every time I think of this. I can't wait to get my hands on this game.
That will be a great episode, too.
It's just going to be me making high-pitched noises a lot.
I'll have to have your husband just hold a recorder next to you, like, and then we'll just release that audio. That would be great.
And dogs will only be able to hear it.
No, but I'm really looking forward to that. I think that'll be...
Oh, man, I can't wait.
It'll make such a difference, you know. We hear so much about, you know, the videos and how this is going to work, and And to actually sit down and play it, I am so jealous.
Now, what are you going to be playing that weekend?
I'm going to Dragon Con that weekend, and curse both of them for having it on the same weekend.
I know, that kills me.
See, I booked Dragon Con last year after the last Dragon Con was over, because I'm actually doing the Guild Wars panel at Dragon Con, so I'll be able to sit there in front of a bunch of people, a room full of people, and be like, yeah, well, we're sitting here. There are people actually playing the game right now, so...
But we can talk about it.
And then the room will clear out, and everyone will just be flying to Seattle. Yeah.
And you can sit there and cry.
Yeah. Aww. That's what it'll be. It'll be like a support group. Be crying.
No, but you know what? You did book it last year. Would you ever have imagined that PAX would be hands-on Guild Wars 2?
Yes,
booked?
Actually, when I booked Dragon Con, I imagined that would happen. And I think I even mentioned it. I think I said, look, now that I have everything set up, hotels, and booked for the panel, I said, watch, they're gonna like have people playing the game. I mean, wouldn't that be crazy? And then here we go.
And then we all went, oh, ha ha, wouldn't that be funny?
Yeah, we're like,
is it funny now? Is it?
No, it's not funny.
No. I'm so sorry. It would be so much more fun if you could stand there and listen to me make high-pitched noises in person.
Yeah. But
wow. It would be awesome. I have video.
Yeah, oh, that would be great. And this is a good sign, too, that if it's, this far along, mm-hmm. The beta has to be around the corner.
Yeah, that is some serious progression.
And I don't imagine ArenaNet would do a beta like everyone else, where it's like, here's 10,000 keys, give them out, and it's basically a big stress test. I think that ArenaNet would probably do it a lot better, where they would say, we're going to
have... Here's Sean and Ruby.
Yeah, right. They're going to be like, we're going to let these people in, and then we're going to let these people in, like different waves of testing, and then, I think that's the way... The original Guild Wars beta was actually pretty open, though. So, I don't know. We'll see.
Well, I don't think the original Guild Wars beta had anywhere near... And I hate to say hype now, but it's good hype, not bad hype. I don't think it had anywhere near the hype that this has.
Oh, no. Not at all.
This is easily one of the two most anticipated MMOs of 2011.
Yeah, and they both have wars in the title.
Ooh, what does it mean?
It's like a double rainbow.
This is better.
Oh, okay. So, yeah, that was essentially it for that blog post. But we also have a bunch of email we wanted to read, and I know you guys are probably sick of email by now. The last two shows have been straight email, but we have like six this time. It's not too bad.
Yeah.
Right?
And they're good emails.
Yeah, well, they're all good emails. Are you saying that they're not good? Oh, sorry. Okay, so this first one starts out, greetings, Buka. See what I did there? That's what they say. I'm Ichimaru. They have a pronunciation guide here.
It's phonetic.
Ichimaru. Ichimaru? Okay. I'm Ichimaru, and I have some commentary on your second email catch-up episode. Feel free to edit the email down should you feel compelled to read it on your lovely show. We did not edit this. This is going to be raw. About the fact that Kantha and Alona will be unavailable in Guild Wars 2. Yes, the lore explains why those places will be out of reach, but it still takes a certain degree of nerdiness to have sought out that information. You're welcome. I don't find it at all unlikely that Guild Wars Beyond will allow us to see how these things got started in Guild Wars 1 gameplay, similar to how we have just experienced the consolidation of the Kryten Nation. Regarding bows in the absence of the recurve, ditto. I assume you can get the recurve effect from a talent. Sounds reasonable, no? Yeah, I think that...
I can see that.
And then here they say, warning, pro-hero anti-pug rant starts here. Uh-oh. As for... the heroes ruined the game nonsense. If there were no hench and no heroes in Guild Wars, I wouldn't have played it anywhere near as long as I have. Pugs are painful and takes ages to form. Being able to put together a small group of players and fill it up with heroes, usually it's who's got a decent monk, means we can form a working group with whatever people were interested at the time and not be stumped for hours, days, or even weeks, which tends to happen if you have to form an all-player group. I played the vast majority of Eye of the North hard mode with my best in-game friend. We knew each other's play styles well and could design hero builds to suit us. These days, I'm very tired of having to deal with groups of internet strangers and other games, so it's always a relief to log into Guild Wars, get a hero or hench team, and talk to my guild over the guild chat instead. I can enter the game where I want and leave where I have to, run whatever oddball team strategy I want, and if I screw something up, I will only ruin things for myself. Also, I agree with the person who pointed out that heroes are the best filter for separating people who don't want to pug from the ones who do. If you feel that pugs are difficult to form now, it only indicates that many players wish to avoid pugs wherever they can. End of pro hero rant. Well, before we go on with that, let's address that. I think I think we talked about that enough last week, where I
You know what? I can kind of see it, and pugging is an exercise in patience, absolutely. Mm-hmm. But everything he's saying, I actually experienced this firsthand, and I'll tell a very, very short story. I was pugging Battle for Lion's Arch, which is the final battle in the war in Crydup. And we stood there for 30 minutes because the party leader was insisting we got to have an Ellie. We need an Ellie. And I had like 3 alliance mates that wanted to come, and they were saying no because they weren't Ellies. And then all of a sudden he was like, oh, there's a warrior. We'll take him. Okay. So we get in here, and, you know, everybody's running around in circles like an idiot. Except me, of course.
Right.
But so we're doing this, and this warrior we picked up at the last second is tanking, so he's up at the front. Jade armor, we get to this point where jade armor like come pouring in the door. There's half a dozen of them. And the warrior goes, this is going to be a problem. I'm not infused.
Oh, no.
And I just, oh, my gosh. So it is, but you know what? In the end, we got it, we did it, and it was okay. But it is an exercise in patience, and if you do not feel like screwing with all that at some point, it's so good to be able to just hero up and move on with your life.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, see, that gets me, because it's like, it wasn't like he didn't know what infusion was, he knew.
Yeah. But he's like, oh yeah.
Oh yeah, now's the time where I tell you I'm not infused. Yeah, I don't know, like I was saying last time, you know, I've met some really good friends through Pugs, and I've met some really great people in Pugs, but it's such a low percentage, I think. And the thing, I guess one of the big things, and this is kind of, it's not exclusive to Guild Wars, definitely, but it's very prominent in Guild Wars, is the whole, like, build, what do you call that? Like, you have to have a certain build.
Build synergy?
Yeah, like, no, build snobbery, more like, you know what I mean? Like,
yes.
Where it's like, I'm playing a Necro, and I join up, and then someone, and you were talking about this the other day, actually, in chat, where it's like, I'm an SS Necro, and then they're like, oh, yeah, can you go Minion Master? And then you're like, well, sure, but, you know, that's, I mean, you should be able to play your playstyle mm-hmm. without people telling you. I mean, I understand that there are certain situations and certain builds that are better for certain situations and quests and things like that, but that's one of the good things, I think, about heroes, is you can be like, you know, let's make Elias the Minion Master, and then you can do whatever you want, you know. Mm-hmm. I don't know.
Was that you that I told that? That was that same pug. Because I went LFG in Lion's Arch, and I said, Necro, I can play Spiteful Spirit, or I can play Signet of Spirits. I can just go writ secondary. And I get in the group, and they go, hi, can you be a Minion Master?
Yeah.
Okay, what did I just say?
Yeah.
But yeah, that being greeted, when you join a pug, being greeted with hi, ping.
Hmm. Yeah, hi, change yourself right now.
Right, yeah. Yeah. It's, you know, you have to get in there and get with the program or get kicked out.
Yeah.
And it's not always fun. Hmm. For the record, I did go Minion Master.
Oh, see.
Yeah. I don't like playing Minion Master.
Yeah, and a little story here for anyone who didn't listen to the original Guildcast. There's actually a story behind the name of my Necro, which is a ridiculous story, and it shows how newbie I was when I made my Necro. Made her, I named her Barbecue Rib, BBQ Ribs, because I thought it would be so awesome to have a Minion Master / Fire Ellie. You know? And I was like, that would be great. And I was like at work. I still remember I was at work going, I'm going to name it BBQ Ribs. And I like rushed home and...
Before your shift was over.
Yeah. Where are you going? I need to name my character in Guild Wars.
I have to go home and make BBQ ribs.
Hey, can you bring some to us tomorrow? You come in? Yeah. Okay, anyway, let's continue.
Awesome.
Continue on with this email here. The presence of grind and the absence of necromancers are two of the other reasons why most other MMOs bore me. Amen. I feel that ArenaNet have done an excellent job of keeping grind optional in Guild Wars 1. The first bunch of titles gave little to no in-game effect while catered only to their intended target audience, fanatic players who have already done everything else three times over. And then when ArenaNet added PvE skills, they made sure the skills were always usable from easily obtainable ranks onward. They even retroactively balance the skills so you only ever need to gain ranks if you're into maxing titles. Along with the ingenious system of max armor versus prestige armor and the relative irrelevance of weapon stats, you don't even need to grind for money unless you're vain. Seriously, how many games let you get away with that much freedom of choice? And then he finishes it up here and says, Gunslinger class? Well, me and my brother theorized on a duelist type. Nimble, precise, and who turned to pistols when the situation demanded it. Sean's ideas could interface neatly on the ranged aspect of the class. I insist on calling them pirates, though. Hey, there you go, pirates. And mesmers should be able to use pistols. I just like the thought of that. yeah, yes. like one of those fancy kind of pistols that you have in like dueling in like the 1700s.
Yeah. Dueling pistols?
Yeah.
If we have pirates, we have to have ninjas, though. I insist.
Well,
for PvP.
Yeah, I think, yeah, if they bring assassins, then we'll have ninjas.
Then we can have pirates versus ninjas like everybody has always wanted.
Yeah.
My kids, anyway.
Anyway, keep up the good work and delightful banter. Clammy hugs from Ichimaru the Bloody.
Yum.
Ichimaru?
Ichimaru.
Yeah. Ichimara, that's what it is, I think. I don't know.
Well, we butchered it at some point, we're so sorry.
Alrighty. Okay, so the next email says, Hey, Sean and Ruby, love the show. I'm a longtime listener around during the previous Guildcast 1.0 and was thrilled when I saw you returned with the new improved Guildcast. Something that has been on my mind is whether or not the storage system will be account-wide like in Guild Wars. I will be sad to see a new storage system not be account-wide. It made it a lot easier to start up a new character when you already had a bank full of money. I'm also wondering how crafting will work in Guild Wars 2. I'm also anxious to see map travel to any outpost or city gone. I really grow tired of games where you have to walk long distances. I edited that a little bit. I'm so excited for Guild Wars 2, I almost can't sleep at night. Wow. I'm so going to be one of those ones to go out and buy the game the first week it comes out. First week? What
Dude,
about the first hour?
Yeah, first get in line at Best Buy at midnight.
Yeah. Oh, I also plan to get Ghosts of Ascalon sometime soon here. I read the first chapter online, and I loved it. I'm sorry my questions are mixed up in my ranting. With the announcement of the Ranger class, it makes me think Rangers in Guild Wars 2 are going to be way overpowered. Three pets, and one of the downed skills of the Ranger is going to be for the pet to revive them. My first character I'm going to make at this point will be a Savari Ranger. Sincerely, Chaotic God with X's on each side. He says, the assassin that will come to your door and point at you to call you as his target.
I love that so much.
P.S. Sorry if I asked anything you mentioned in the podcast already. I'm writing this as I am listening to podcast 8. P.P.S. My main in Guild Wars 1 is an assassin. Ha ha.
Aw, poor assassins. They're just a misunderstood class.
Poor ninjas.
I'm saying. That's right. They'll beat the pirates in Guild Wars 2.
Oh, see, you already started that, huh?
Oh, no.
okay, so, storage.
Have oh, they... please let it be account-wide.
Yeah, I think everybody agrees on that.
Yeah, they have not said, but, yeah, I really like getting my character all outfitted right off the bat.
One of my favorite things to do in any game with account storage is to make different characters that specialize in different crafting things. I did that... I've done that in a lot of games, but, you know, where you... And then once one character who doesn't need those specific items to craft, like, he'll gather them, put them in the account storage, and then the other character will get them out. You know what I mean? It's like a... just a way to kind of organize it better, I guess. Mm-hmm. I'm just really anal like that. But, so if, you know, without account-wide storage, that would make it so that you have to mail everything, and that's a giant pain in the butt.
Yes, it is. Please keep account-wide storage, because we love it.
Yep.
Now I'm sitting here thinking, you know what? I need to make a character that specifically needs all of the crap overflowing in my inventory.
the catch-all? kind of character.
Yes, something that can use all of these random runes that I won't get rid of for whatever reason. And
they have one of those
bizarre weapon.
They have one of those, but they're called the Merchant.
No, I want to keep it. I can't get rid of it. That's I am the anti-pack rat in real life, and then in game I like keep everything.
Oh. I guess that makes sense.
Pack rat tendencies.
So, okay, what's the other question here? Oh, crafting. Wants to know how crafting will work.
Don't again, we all?
Yeah, again, that's one that they haven't. But they have mentioned specifically there will be crafting.
You know, I'm going to be interested to see, you know, all of this stuff where you can interact with the world, like killing the creature and then picking up its arm and beating something else with the arm. I'm wondering how that will, if that will interface with crafting at all. You know, you can kill the tree creature and pick up the branch and either wield it as a weapon or use it as crafting material. Mm-hmm. I'm just wondering if those two things will overlap, because I would really love to see that.
Yeah, I imagine they will. I imagine it would be like you can either choose to use it as a weapon or you can choose to salvage it for, you know, the wood.
Yeah.
That's a pretty popular crafting mechanic, I guess.
Yeah, I hope so.
Yeah, I hope that maybe they'll make like something with the Asura that would be like a mad scientist kind of a thing, and then you can get like body parts from people, put it together, and like add a golem eye in there and just make them like this crazy zombie golem.
You read Ghost of Ascalon again, didn't you?
All right, let's go on to this next email. It's very short. It says, "Hey, podcast people, just a quick question about the war in Crida. Although it's over, is it too late to start? And if so, where do I do it? Keep up the great work. Lots of love, Mooney, the one Ruby loved from an older episode." Oh wait.
Oh well, I love Mooney again because Mooney wants to play through the war in Crida. See how that works. It's absolutely not too late. That's, like I said at the beginning of the show, I'm running my writ through it now. Before the day before yesterday, she hadn't done any of it. And there are several guides to getting started, and I can link those in the show notes.
Cool.
Yeah, but it's absolutely not too late, and you need to, because it's the coolest new content in a long time.
I think that's a valid concern, because I think a lot of people, you know, they haven't gotten to it yet, and then they know that there's stuff that's being added all the time, so they're wondering if that new stuff is replacing, you know, the kind of the beginning parts of it. So it's,
oh,
it's
goodness,
good.
No.
Yeah, so it's good to, it's a good question, I think.
Yeah, it is. But yeah, it's, that's the advantage of such a heavily instanced world, is that you can go back, hopefully, you can go back and start this again 6 months from now.
Okay, so let's go on to the next email. It says, "Hello, Guildcasters. No names or name order intentional. My fiancé and I spend the majority of our spare time gaming together. We love any type of game where we can share our gaming experiences, and in May of this year, we discovered Guild Wars." Congratulations. "We were surprised that we didn't spot it for so long, but now we have found what seems to be our gaming home. We are really loving listening to your podcast and have us all excited about the future with Guild Wars 2 on the way. However, we have recently reached a stage in the game where we are finding things to be a little too tough. The missions in the Crystal Desert and the explorable areas of the southern Shiver Peaks seem to be so darn hard. In other MMOs and even other single-player RPGs, the solution to this is to do some leveling up and then come back and the area will be a little easier, but we are already at the level cap. We like this mechanic in our MMOs. If we want a challenge, then we race through and tackle areas beyond our levels. If we want to coast through for a while, we just level up and it's all easy again. Your talk about grinding the other day has started us thinking about what grinding actually is. We agree that with you guys that the whole kill 10 rats, then kill 10 more is a nightmare. However, grinding in order to level up so that we can then have less of a challenge is an element that Guild Wars doesn't seem to have, and we are worried that Guild Wars 2 won't have this either. From your extensive experience in the game, do you guys have any suggestions as to how we can deal with this difficulty in Guild Wars 1? What can we do to make it easier to beat the baddies? Do you think that Guild Wars 2 will have a similar mechanic? I understand why hardcore gamers want a challenge, but isn't that what hard mode is all about? Regards, Sugal Mythbeast and Amy Catlinol."
Those are kind of cool looking names.
Yeah, they are.
I have a couple thoughts on this. I'm curious as to what your professions are, and if you've gone to Nightfall and picked up heroes, or if you're just doing henchmen. It's kind of hard to answer. No, I mean, you know, I don't know if you're running around as like a Minion Master / Fire Ellie.
That would be horrible.
But that would suck so much. A couple years ago, it probably would have been awesome. But the thing about Guild Wars, it's that it's not just about level up and hit things harder. It's more about strategy and figuring out what's going on with your build to take on whatever, you know, being able to change to take on whatever it is you're facing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think that's the big thing here, and that's essentially what ArenaNet thought when they made the level 20 cap. It's not so much about level. I mean, you need to get that out of your mind when you play Guild Wars. It's about the skills. You know, go out and cap some new elites. Maybe look on... There's some great resources for builds that... I'm a big fan of playing efficiently, but I'm not a big fan of playing the flavor of the moment or flavor of the month build, because I think that, you know, you can still kind of branch out from that and try your own stuff. But... The fact is that a lot of those work, and they're at least good starting points. You know, if you find something, a build that is very effective, you know, you can start there, and kind of if you have another skill you really like, you can add that in there or replace something. But I think it's more about skills, and it's also about like runes and things like that. You know, mods that you can add to your weapons or to your armor. You know, ways to improve your armor. This is kind of the way that they started changing it later throughout Chapter 2 and Chapter 3, to where you can, you know, because they know that you can't get past level 20, but there's still going to be, like we said, bosses that are level 32, so that's pretty much the way to do it. I mean, if you think, you know, the Southern Shiver Peaks is hard, I remember thinking that was hard, and I remember thinking, like, this is impossible, how am I ever going to do this? But now... You know, Eye of the North and stuff later in Nightfall, it's just insane. I mean, there is some insane stuff in there. And the only way to do it is strategy. You know, you get together with your friends, you have to figure out that strategy. And a lot of times it means repeating stuff over and over again until you can figure it out. And I don't know. I think it's one of the ways that this game is so fun.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, to get a little more specific, take a look at what you're using. Figure out where you're sticking. I mean, I assume that it's not just the entire Southern Shiver Peaks. Now I'm drinking. I assume it's not the entire Southern Shiver Peaks. But look at where you're sticking. And just, like, off the top of my head from my own class, if you're an elementalist casting 5-second spells and you're taking on a pack of mesmers, they are going to interrupt you and beat you to death. Mm-hmm. So take a look at your bar and see what specifically is causing the problem. The other thing is to find some, you know, play with some people. And that's, like I said the other day, that's my solution to everything in the whole wide world. I can link to Massively's Guild again, because we're actually approaching the Southern Shiver Peaks. We're kind of getting there, so I'm sure we'd have some people to hang out with you.
Awesome. Yeah, I think that would be a good idea. How is that working with the group? Are you guys... You have multiple groups running?
Yeah, and we're actually having so much fun. We the Alliance members are getting in on it now. And we have just about every week when we go in there, well, and especially now that we've got the forums, I hit the outpost where we were scheduled to meet last night and found two people sitting in the outpost waiting for a guild invite. Hmm. So that was kind of cool. I actually had one guy that kept whispering me, and he said, "Hi, you know, I really love this stuff on Massively, and I'd love a guild invite. Could you please invite me?" He was set to offline.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And he kept whispering me.
I've had that happen a lot, actually, yeah.
Yeah, but then we showed up. I'm not sure if it was a coincidence. I never got to ask. We showed up in Eye of the North for the second half of what we were going to do last night, and he was standing there.
Oh, okay.
And I was so happy. So we talked to him, and we got him into the guild. But yeah, we're just, again, it's all about hanging out with more people, and several people from our alliance are joining just for fun.
Mm-hmm. Cool.
So, it's a good time, and there are a lot of people that are involved in this that are advanced farther and would love to come back and help out, so come hang out with us. It'll be fun.
Awesome. Okay, this next email is painfully long. And I can say that because this is from our friend Loudon.
Yeah. I like, and he eliminated the name thing too by just saying, "Dude."
Yeah, hey, dude. He even said, this one's sort of long. Sorry for that, but I have some concerns I wanted to run by you. I've not heard this brought up on the show yet, or if it was brought up, I missed it. Since you play other games, I was curious how solo farming works in the other MMOs that are out there. Based on Anet's track record, they don't always consider the solo farmer in their decision-making process. Remember when they set rare materials slash items to drop based on party size and the outrage that caused? They quickly modified that, but it highlights the oversight of solo farmers in making decisions. I'm hearing a lot about an elementalist putting up a wall of fire and a ranger shooting arrows through it for improved damage. While that makes for a cool video, it does not automatically translate into cool gameplay, in my opinion. And in reality, it does not sound any different than a Rit putting down splinter, or putting splinter weapon on a ranger, or an Ellie putting up Ebon Vanguard battle standard, so people close by can do more damage. All I've seen so far is fancier graphics on mechanics that we already have. Granted, arrows that go through fire and get ignited, while those that don't stay unlit is cool, but to me, that is primarily just an aesthetic. I liken it to putting a spoiler on your car. Sure, it makes the car look a little snazzier, but trying to claim that it is now a totally new form of transportation seems a bit overkill. Okay, let's address that before we go on. That's an awesome analogy, actually.
It really is. I laughed when I read that.
I think as far as solo farmers go, you know, I think at first it was one of those things that they actually tried to fight. I mean, they did fight it a lot. They have the anti-farming code they put in there. I remember I made a farmer once. I was never really big into farming because I don't like just setting up one specific thing that's so, you know, you have to do it by the book, and if you mess up one time, then you have to do it all over again. I'm not really a big fan of that. I know Loudon is, actually. He loves farming, which, you know, it's just play styles. It's fine.
The way you play?
Yeah, and one thing I did do was the monk, the minotaur farming in the desert. And I did that for a long time.
Really?
Yeah, it was so easy. That's why I did it. It was just so easy. And I made a video about it and everything. But then they, of course, nerfed that, and they changed it. But I think that the way Guild Wars is set up with the instancing and the way that you can have the skills, you know, the build set up, it's very easy to make farmers. It's very easy to be a solo farmer. But at the same time, you know, the flip side of that is the fact that there are, it's so easy to make a gold farmer. You know what I mean? Like, solo farmer can equal gold farmer quite easily. And we were talking, actually, I think we talked on this show about when we, in the old days, when we used to see just waves of monks go through Drachner's Forge.
It was so funny.
And they do it now, actually, too, right? Up in North Krita?
A lot less.
Yeah. But it was just incredible. I mean, it was literally a flow of constant monks, just probably 20 at a time, just going, you know, going through, and it didn't stop. It was just a constant flow, and it was like, and I think ArenaNet was like, you know, we need to do something about this. And it sure, it's going to cut down on solo farming, which a lot of people enjoy, but that's pretty much the only thing we can do to stop the gold farming. So, I mean, that's just one of those things. I think that's probably the way they're looking at it.
I think his point of the solo farmer maybe not getting as much love in Guild Wars 2, I think it's very valid. I feel like they're pushing group interplay and group, you're an advantage if you're in a group and you're working back and forth.
Mm-hmm.
Which I'm personally okay with. I mean, I love it, but it's definitely not going to be for everyone.
Yeah. And his other point here about the fire arrows and how it's not really that impressive, I can see what he's saying there. You know, we already have these things. We already have the kind of characters working together to affect each other. But this is like a new thing, you know. And I think maybe it's the overkill of that particular scene. You know, the fire shooting through the arrows shooting through the fire. Where it's like, okay, we've seen this 12 times now. You know, they keep talking about it. Okay, it's going to be awesome. But what does it really mean? What does it break down to?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So I can see his point. You know, he's saying this is something that we can already do, but it's just flashier now. Why are people going crazy over it?
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. I don't know if I would agree 100%, but I can see where he's coming from.
I kind of can. As far as, you know, oh, yes, I know, you can lay down a wall of fire and we can shoot an arrow through it. We've heard it. I think that's, ArenaNet's in a little bit of a sticky position there because you know how they are. They're not going to tip. They don't want to tip their hand yet. They don't want to show everything. So here are one or two examples. Well, and then we all love it, and everybody talks about it over and over and over until some people are kind of, okay, yeah, we know. Can we please talk about something else for 5 minutes?
Yeah.
I just think it's another example of something that we've talked about before. They're taking something that works, like the Writ and Splinter Weapon, which was a really good example, and making that bigger and better in Guild Wars 2. They're taking that and they're running with it because it's something that worked well for them. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I mean, they even have the same skill names a lot of times. You know, that we're reusing the same skills, same types of weapons for the most part, but just changing them a little bit, and I don't think they're making any kind of promise to have an entirely new
mode of transportation?
Well, I mean, yeah, well, yeah, exactly. But they're not saying that the game is entirely new, because we still want what we loved in Guild Wars 1.
Right.
And if that's names or places or even game mechanics, but they're just putting a new spin on it, an updated, changes.
Right.
And that's why they're, they wanted to make this stuff. They were talking about this in 2007, I think. They wanted to make all this stuff that they're introducing now, but they just couldn't do it with the current engine. And it wasn't about, why aren't they giving any love to Guild Wars 1? It was about, we want to do it, but we're just going to start from scratch. We're just going to completely redo it. So, but at the same time, I think that people were kind of under the impression that completely redoing it means, a whole new everything. But that's
brand new stuff.
Yeah, that's not entirely the case. I think they would be stupid to reinvent the wheel. They're just adding new rims, I guess.
Well, they've got a pretty good wheel. Don't mess with what works. Just improve it.
So rims, spoiler. That's the plot of this email.
You guys, I'm being such a girl here. You guys are getting into car bits territory.
Well, let's continue on with this email. It says, one of the things I loved and still love about Guild Wars is solo farming. The sense of accomplishment from doing something yourself, the challenge of coming up with an effective build to get the job done, the thrill when you actually get the item you wanted to drop, and the fact that I could do it without needing anyone else, heroes or real players. My concern with Guild Wars 2 is how creative can you get when you really only have a few skill slots at your disposal? What does needing an Ellie to put up a wall of fire to light my arrows help me when I want to solo farm? By the way, that was just continuing along with the previous example. There is zero chance of me playing a ranger in Guild Wars 2. The loss of a secondary is another concern. For a lot of farms, you can make do using the primary class as your secondary. For example, almost any caster class can 55 farm with a monk secondary. And look at the blank/writ. Yeah, spirit spammer that's everywhere right now. And any class can run it, and it allows almost anyone to farm with it. Sure, they are not as good as a writ primary, but it still works. I know, blah, 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 Guild Wars 2 has traits, blah, 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 but it's still very undefined, and based on the past, I am skeptical that solo farming is getting fair billing in the decision-making process. It seems that ArenaNet is looking to take away some of the soloist's creativity and trying to force that creativity onto the whole party. Maybe it is a necessary evil since they can't seem to balance things across the combination of PvE groups, solo farming, and PvP. Seems to me that Guild Wars 2 is applying the Codex Arena logic to the entire game. We can't balance the skills if we give you access to all of them, so we are only going to let you have access to a subset of them. I love Guild Wars just as much as everyone else. I'm still playing after 5 years. It is just the more I hear about Guild Wars 2, the more I'm concerned it is not shaping up to be the game for me. After all, 90% of what I did in-game was play Monk. I know it is still too early to make any judgments, as we are just starting to see the tip of the iceberg. You know this whole situation is actually your fault. Wait, what? I was not following the new information to avoid this exact scenario, and then you brought back your podcast, and of course I had to listen. And now I'm having these concerns. Damn you, Sean. Fist shake. And because I was being so negative, I wanted to say I think different characters being in different guilds, an auction house, and more realistic death all sound pretty sweet. All right, joking about you ruining my life aside, I did have a comment about Guildcast forums. One of the coolest things about the first iteration of Guildcast was the forums. You talk a lot about the sense of community and how tight so many of the listeners are and how you have known them for so long. Well, that was in large part because of the forums. Sure, GLU, which that stands for Guildcast Listeners United, contributed as well, but I don't think comments on the bottom of the show notes is what brought us all together. Look at all the people that went to PAX together in 08. Other than you and Sarah, none of those people were in GLUE. Half of them were not even in an alliance with GLUE. The forums were the common bond and why we all knew each other so well. Hell, look at you and me, for that matter. If this is getting kind of personal.
Do you need a moment alone?
Yeah, no. If there were no forums, we would not even know each other. I can count on one hand the number of times we actually played together. I know the forums can be a pain in the butt, but they are what will make Guildcast a community instead of a nebulous collection of listeners. You are more experienced now. Think of it like a second child. The second is a lot easier because you already know what pitfalls to avoid. I have a nice comment about that. And you have some experienced mods to lend you a hand from day one if you need it. I just hate to see what I think was such a large part of Guildcast missing in the second go-round. Let me address that real quick.
The fact that you already have two children?
No, the fact that the pitfalls I want to avoid are on a much larger base, much larger scope, and that pitfall I want to avoid is the forums. I mean, that's what I want to avoid. Yeah, that's the pitfall. And this is the best way I can say it. Loudon, I understand exactly what you're saying. I really do, and you're absolutely right in everything. You know, the people got together because of those forums. I think Lady Sinea is the one who introduced Loudon and I. He was playing with her, and they were friends. But yeah, we probably wouldn't have talked. I mean, he's been on the show, he's been on Guildcast a lot. We've played together a few times. And I love Loudon. He's such a great guy because he has a great sense of humor. We met in 2008 at PAX and everything. It was really great. So, if anyone out there thinks that passionately about the forums, go ahead and make some. Like, I will not say, you know, don't make forums. Go ahead and make some forums. If everyone out there wants to make forums, I'll probably go to them, you know, and I don't want to moderate them. That's the thing. I don't want to moderate. I don't want to be responsible when other people have fights. You know what I mean? That was the big thing in the Guildcast forums. People are having fights with each other about stupid things, and it always went back to me. It was like, Sean, you need to solve this problem for us. Sean, why is this happening? And then I would get, you know, people who say you need to moderate the forums more, you need to cut out all curse words, and then there were the ones that said, no, don't cut out any curse words, and it was just back and forth. And I do this at massively every day, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And I hate to be that pessimistic. I know it sounds like, oh, Sean, you know, what's your deal? Like, why do you hate people? But it's the fact that it's exactly like Loudon said. I've learned from my experience, and I'm not going to go through that again, because running a forum is almost a full-time job. And my full-time job is doing that same thing, just about. You know what I mean? So it's one of those things I just don't want to do again. You know, I play games to kind of get away from being the boss and the moderator and things like that. And I just want to join a group, and I want to play and kill stuff, and that's it. And I do a podcast because I want people to know, kind of work together and get this hype going and get excited and talk about our favorite game, you know, and just be excited. You know, I can't say that enough. But when you bring a forum into that, it's bringing back to the kid analogy. It's like if I went to Loudon's house and I saw his kids were there and I said, oh, your kids are so cute, you know, and I play Xbox with them, throw the ball around with them a little bit, and then I go home. That's one thing. But if Loudon was to say, I'm going to be gone for a week and I need you to watch my kids for me, that's a whole different thing, because now I have to, you know, I have to regulate what they eat and
you're
and
responsible
yell.
For them.
Yeah, I have to yell at them if they're, you know, being bad, or, you know, or not yell at them if that's not his policy, or, you know, send them to a timeout, or, you know, it's all these things change completely when you have responsibility. Just completely. 100% completely. So I want to visit people's kids. I don't want to babysit them. I think that's my point right there. Is that too harsh? What do you think?
Not at all. And the other half of that, too, when you had the Guildcast forums, how many hours a week were you working?
Well,
you were working 40 hours a week, and how many are you working now?
Yeah, I think, I was working a lot back then. I think I was working more. I wasn't working more, but I was away from home more. Because now I'm working, like, sun up to sundown every
all
day.
All the time.
Yeah, but I'm at home. You know, I'm in front of the computer.
But I think there are more demands on your time now.
Yeah.
And
yeah, and I didn't want to make this all about me, but, you know, and like poor Sean and stuff like that, but I just wanted to explain that a little bit more. I understand, Lauren, I completely understand what you're saying. You know, the sense of community is very important, and it's one of those things that it's kind of a shame that I'm bitter about forums, because it would be nice to have that community. So the solution to that is anyone out there want to make a Guildcast community, go for it. You know, there are tons of free forums out there, and maybe we can get something together. We could talk about it on the show. You know, mm-hmm. We can get kind of promote it to get that community back together. I just don't want to moderate it. That's all.
Right.
Yeah. So now that I'm done complaining and bickering and moaning about that,
I played the tiny violin. It's all good.
Yeah. So let's finish up his email here. He says, "I will save my opinions on no monks, the lack of click to move, and whether heroes are hurting or helping the current Guild Wars for another day."
Oh my gosh.
Too bad there is not a forum where I could post them there. Thanks for any insight you can provide on solo farming in other games and speculation on how it may be in Guild Wars 2. I am glad Guildcast is back. Even being a nebulous listener without a community is better than no Guildcast at all. Thanks, Loudon. P.S. Chars with rifles are the new monks.
Man, I am suddenly glad this is entirely addressed to you. I can say, you know what, none of this is my fault.
Well, also, okay, let's go down his points. I don't think we really touched on the main points that he summed up in that last few sentences. So, solo farming in other games. I think Guild Wars makes it much, much easier to solo farm. There aren't really that many other games that allow you to do that. Yeah. And that's because of the instances and because of just the way it's set up, the way everything is set up with the skills, you know, figuring out new builds, would work in this area, but instancing I think is the big one there. But yeah, can you think of any other games that really allow you to solo farm that easily?
Not that easily. Character creation on some games, they will tell you with each race and class combination how easy it is to solo. Mm-hmm. But it's still not. I don't think there's anything that's quite this simple.
Yeah, DDO does that, don't they?
Yeah, they do. And I feel like Lotro does, but it's been too long since I made a character. So somebody's going to have to correct me on that if I'm wrong.
Yeah, and there are some games that are just solo, more solo-friendly than others. And then there are ones that you literally cannot play without a group. You know, you just 100% cannot play it. Some games, I think Champions Online is a good example of one that you can solo farm pretty well, but it's a lot different. I mean, it's just Loudon, you know, the things that Loudon is referring to as solo farming are the things that he knows and loves from Guild Wars, and you're just not going to find that in any other game, I don't think.
No, it's almost unique in that respect. I'm actually sitting here thinking about Fallen Earth. I played with people in Fallen Earth twice.
Yeah,
literally two times.
Yeah, that's one where you can farm. I mean, it's a solo friendly game up until a certain level. I think a lot of games can say that too. Ion's like that too, and you know, we keep naming these same games over and over again.
I know.
The truth. You know,
yeah,
even,
it's just how it works.
Like even like Age of Conan is pretty solo friendly. Warhammer's pretty solo friendly. Just at the beginning though, you know, once you get later on in the game, you just can't play without a group.
Really?
Yeah, there are a lot of games like that.
I canceled my Fallen Earth subscription. I got lonely.
So. Yeah. It's funny, you know, they make a game about desolation in the wasteland, and people get kind of upset that it's that there's not a bunch of people running around.
I wasn't upset. That's just not my play style. I like people.
I
play with people. But that goes back to what he was saying very, very well. This is your play style, and if a game really gets away from your particular playstyle, it's not going to be as much fun for you, and it's not going to be, it may not be the game for you, which, if you're a hardcore Guild Wars player, that's kind of a sad thing for Guild Wars 2.
Yeah. Yeah.
So I don't know. As far as the skills, I feel like we've talked about that over and over. We don't know. Yeah, you can only dip from a certain pool. We don't know how big that pool is, and I am completely reserving judgment until I see that. Mm-hmm. But I don't feel like it's going to be restrictive at all.
Yeah. Yeah. So, Loudon, we hope we answered all your questions there. I know it's kind of went off on a rant there a little bit.
No, it was a good explanation of why you don't want to do this.
But, yeah. So, no monks. I'm actually excited to hear what Loudon has to say about that, because when I heard that, he was exactly the first person I thought of, you know.
Was it really?
Yeah, it was like, oh, I wonder what Loudness has to say about that. And the lack of click to move, he says he's going to end whether heroes are hurting or helping the game. This is in a future Loudon email, so I'm anticipating that.
All right.
All right, so our last email of the day is, it's pretty funny. It's,
this email is awesome.
It's, I know you might remember last week we talked about Bob's MMO Shack and Bait and Shop.
Bait Shop.
So we got an email from someone who, actually it's from Free Spirit, and he figured that he would kind of go in character with that a little bit and you know, kind of play on that. It says, "Dear Fair Maid of Massively and the Fast Cast Kid."
Fast Cast Kid is just such an awesome name.
Character name. There you go.
I gotta see if it's taken.
Loved the email shows. Seems to have been a great community bonding exercise. Bob says to say hi, but don't rubbish him this week, if you please.
Hey, Bob.
Sorry, Bob. I apologize for writing these rather lengthy missives. Feel free to ruthlessly wield the editor's axe or illusionary weaponry weapon of your choice. Nice. Feel free also to paraphrase. Oh, slipped into rambling mode again. You get my drift. I did make an intro for Guildcast, but after some really serious editing, it still ended up being a little over 5 minutes long. So,
oh my gosh.
So I abandoned it. I have been contemplating ArenaNet's next move regarding a profession reveal after you mentioned a reveal is to be made before Gamescom, which set me thinking. Previously, I had been thinking that the next reveal would be another somewhat familiar scholar, probably Mesmerish. Now, however, my thoughts favor one of the new classes. Having announced the hands-on demo at Gamescom, it seems to me, as a simple soul, that this would be too big an opportunity for ArenaNet to miss presenting something totally new. For maximum impact, I would also suggest something visually impressive. So I go out on a limb here and suggest a sniper/engineer type character. If I'm totally wrong, then a summoner class, Necro-ish, is second choice. On the Guild Wars 2 wiki main page, the character on the right of the ranger is a woman in a bikini and shirt who looks like and stands in a manner reminiscent of Livia. He puts, still awake? Cool. Yes, we're still awake. I shall get back to my ranger. I left him sitting atop Anvil Rock, watching the Minotaurs frolic in the early evening light. Free Spirit. And here's a PS down here. I have been casually working on the Hardy's old journals, not sure how to proceed at present, but here is a flavor of how they will turn out. Blog format won't suit ultimately, so may play around with the Google Reader. Should also speak to ArenaNet for permissions, else the whole project is dead in the water. And this is his little, it's like a Guild Wars journal. It's like in character, isn't it?
Yeah, I love it.
And it's at jackpinner.blogspot.com. jackpinner.blogspot.com.
I'll stick it in the show notes.
Yeah. So I guess on the topic of the next speculation of the next class, do you even want to go there? Like, should we start? Should we do that? I know somebody suggested that we do another $25 Amazon gift card giveaway, but I'm just a poor man.
Oh.
Living in my poor house.
What happened to the van by the river?
Oh, right.
Did you upgrade? That's why you can't afford another one.
That's right, yeah.
Yeah, because he got out of the van. You know what? We can absolutely speculate, because I'm voting Necro.
I'm going to say Mesmer. I don't know why.
Because you love you some Mesmer.
I do.
And I have to say Necro, because I already got my LA, so I'm all good.
Actually, I really do think Necro, I don't know. I think it's between one of those two. Because, you know, they've talked about Necro in Ghosts of Ascalon. Everyone knows that the Necro's coming. So I think that that's a really, really good chance. But man, I would love to see a Mesmer come out next. I just want to see, you know, how much they've changed the classes we've seen already. I want to see how much they're going to change the Mesmer. And it's not change as much. It's kind of like that happy medium between keeping it the same and adding to it. Mm-hmm. You know, and like, especially the Ranger. I mean, all those, you know, those pets and those things we've seen with that are just like, it's just amazing. And I just want to see, you know, if they're still going to have fast casting and they're going to have the interrupts and they're going to have the Mesmer kind of focus on being that kind of trickster kind of a character. You know, mm-hmm. I really hope that that's expanded upon.
Okay, here's my theory. Here's my official guess. I'm going to guess Necro for the reveal before Gamescom, and then they will reveal the Mesmer either at Gamescom or PAX, and I will go to Seattle, and I will play a Mesmer.
And then I will...
cry for days.
I will cry for days, yes. I was trying to think of a nice way to say that.
You could just fall back on hating me. That's... No, I will... I'm going to guess Necro for the next one, absolutely.
Yeah, that would be interesting if they did that. Now, that would be... Those would be kind of close together with two class reveals really close like that, but...
Well, that's just me being stupidly optimistic. And
well, it's like you said in the email, they do have to show something flashy at Gamescom, mm-hmm. you know.
They do.
I mean, Gamescom is mid to late August, and then PAX is the beginning of September, so maybe they might wait until PAX to reveal the Mesmer.
Oh, come on, give me something new at PAX.
And if they do,
I'm
just going to, like, even if I'm in the middle of the Guild Wars panel, I'm just going to fly to Seattle.
I'll call everyone else. I'll call you. Guess what? That's what I'm going to have to do is, you know what, I'll text you everything because I know how much you love that.
Yes, I love
being... You love when people text you.
Being texted is like getting a message on Xbox Live. I love it. I love messages, but I won't respond to them because I'm not going to sit there and play with the controller for each letter to answer someone. So I'm just like, okay, thanks for the message. Thanks.
Okay, now I'm going to have to end. If you don't answer me, I'll be sad. Respond to this text for the next piece of information. And I love this. I've got like this whole plan to just completely torture you while I'm there.
Thank you.
Always happy to. Okay, well, Jack gets, we didn't do one 2 days ago, but Jack gets my, oh, I love this guy. Because that was seriously an awesome email.
Yeah. And he did, like I mentioned, he did a one that was like more in character, the Bob thing.
That was great.
It was hilarious. But so yeah, that's all the email we had this time, and we're all caught up, I think.
Yay! Okay, so we're ready for more.
Ready for more, yep. I invite you to, in the comments for this episode, give a little bit more speculation on the next class. You know, maybe tell us a little bit more about, you know, your opinions on solo farming in Guild Wars versus other games. Some of the other topics that we talked about, maybe, you know, I'd love to see expansions on those topics in the comments or emails. Mm-hmm. And then, of course, you know, tell us what we said wrong. That's always our favorite part, right?
Yeah, they need an invitation for that.
All right, so that's it from us this week, and we will talk to you again next week with hopefully more exciting news.
Yes.
And you can email us at either Sean, SHAWN, at guildcast.com, or Ruby, RUBI, guildcast.com, or both. Check out our main webpage at guildcast.wordpress.com, and of course we have Twitter and Facebook. They're both linked on the main page, so you can check those out as well. And I think that's it from us. So until next week, this is Sean.
I'm Ruby.
And we'll talk to you then.